You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next up, a recent study compiling international data has shown that Aotearoa is responsible for almost a quarter of international pest eradication on islands. I spoke to one of the contributors at the study, University of Auckland's James Russell, a conservation biologist, about the nuances of the data. I started by asking about the main findings.
New Zealand's been leading the world for pest eradication for over 50 years. And that's reflected in the recent work that we published, which just shows how after so many decades, we're still leading the world in the number of eradications we've done, although actually that's shrinking in size as a proportion of global eradications because we've been exporting that knowledge more and more to the rest of the world.
Your study focuses on islands. So what significance do islands have in terms of biodiversity? Why is it important that we focus on those areas for pest eradication?
So it turns out islands are both a hotspot for evolution and conservation and for extinction risk. So because islands only make up 5% of the world's land area, they actually have 20% of the world's terrestrial species. And that's because when species get to islands, they evolve into all these unique species that are found nowhere else in the world. And we clearly see that across New Zealand with our taonga species such as kiwi and kakapo and our tuatara. And so on. And so that's really amazing. And this is the same for islands all across the world, whether it be the Galapagos or Hawaii or anywhere else in the world. And then what happened as a flip side of that is humans arrived at these islands last in the colonization of the planet, particularly New Zealand and Hawaii were some of the last places on the world to be colonized by indigenous cultures first, and then followed by Europeans. And with those colonization events came the introduction of mammal species. And mammals were one thing that couldn't get to islands before because birds could fly out, reptiles could float out, but mammals weren't able to swim the thousands of kilometers to get to islands. And so these species that are so unique to islands that make up this biodiversity that we want to conserve were so vulnerable to these invasions by mammals as well. And so we saw species such as rats or the cats that people introduced to control them or myriad other bizarre introductions of mammal species have led to numerous extinctions. So that was really where New Zealand found itself about 100 years ago. They were seeing the species starting to blip out and go extinct. And then for the first time considering, well, maybe we can actually eradicate these rats and cats. And we started off on quite small islands. And now 50 years later, we're seeing the fruits of that labor as we're really working on some really quite large islands as eradication projects.
Your work identified a slow in the pace of eradications, despite New Zealand being high in the ranks of doing so. What kind of factors have played into that phenomena?
So to some extent, that's a statistical artifact insofar as we've done a lot of the small islands that were easy to do and uninhabited and remote and just owned by the Department of Conservation or managed by the Department of Conservation. And so if you're just looking at the number of islands done, we're actually slowing down. But if you then look at another statistic, which is the area of islands that we're cleared, what we're doing now, other than much bigger islands. So we're looking at large islands now, Rangitoto and Motutapu were cleared just over a decade ago. Further south in the sub-Antarctic region, Antipodes Island was cleared. Those are large islands of thousands of hectares. And so now, as we look to the future, we're not doing as many islands as often, but when we do them, they're really big islands. And we've got some really ambitious targets now, such as Aotea, which is Great Barrier Island, or Rakiura, Stewart Island, and even Waiheke Island, just off in the middle of the Hauraki Gulf there.
Could you explain maybe the three waves of technology or methods of pest eradication that has happened in this country?
The way we set about doing pest eradication is ultimately if it's targeting a large predator like a cat, you might use something, or possums, you might use, or stoats, you might use traps. But if you're working with rats, you just use the same kind of rat bait that you can buy at the supermarket to control the rats in your backyard. It's just about how you strategically use that. So the first applications were just people walking around on the island, putting it in bait stations like you might in your backyard, or just laying it on the ground where the rats could eat it. And because of some nuance about how these baits are used, they're dyed green and they're unpalatable to birds. So even though the baits are there in the environment, species such as birds tend not to go for them. They're made to be specifically attractive to rats. But then the first breakthrough that New Zealand made in the 1990s was going, well, actually, wouldn't it be much more efficient if we could take one of those kind of monsoon fire buckets and sling it under a helicopter instead of filling it up with water, fill it up with poison bait, and then we could use helicopters and fly over much vaster areas. And that turned out to be a real technological breakthrough, which allowed us to do these much larger islands now where you couldn't simply have a team of people walking around putting bait on the ground. The next breakthrough we had to make after that was recognising that rats could swim back out to islands, so we wouldn't be able to clear rats from Rangitoto or Motutapu if they came back on the next ferry. But we developed a lot of confidence 20 years ago that we could stop those rats getting back. And now the next breakthrough we're looking at is around the actual social science, which is even though we can use helicopters over very large islands, people living on Aotearoa or Waiheke, rightly so, don't want helicopters flying over their backyards, just indiscriminately throwing toxin everywhere. So we need to work with those communities to find new ways and maybe go back to the basics of doing ground-based methods where we're quite strategic with where we put the bait, or even using traps on some species.
And can we continue at this pace and still reach our predator-free by 2050 goal?
Yeah, we have another piece of work coming out next week which looks specifically at the case of New Zealand and how you might distribute these different pest control tools, the ground-based, the aerial, the traps versus the poison across all of so-called mainland New Zealand, in other words, the north of the South Island. And that was a really interesting piece of work because it shows about half of New Zealand mainland receives pest control already today. And if we just used those same methods we already use today, we could probably achieve about 90% coverage across the mainland of New Zealand for pest control. The challenge is, though, the other 10%, we either need to think of new innovative ways to use the tools we've already got, or perhaps create a breakthrough technology, because they're quite difficult parts of the country to work in. They tend to actually be the most remote parts of the country or the most inhabited parts of the country, such as downtown Auckland. So this work shows that if we continue on the current trajectory, we can actually achieve a predator-free New Zealand, but it'll involve repeating what we've done over the last 50 years, which is a continual investment in the research and the technology with breakthroughs being made. We can't simply carry on for the next 50 years using the technology from the last 50, expecting it to keep on working.
And to kind of close out, what impact does it have globally that we have eradicated so many pests in the last century?
That was really the most exciting result from our paper, which was showing that even though everyone's just working on their island in their so-called backyard and doing their bit, when we actually globally compile them and add them all together, these have saved dozens of species from extinction and created a lot more habitat for species that had lost their original island strongholds. And that's really exciting because it shows that it doesn't take a global leader to make some great decree that this will happen. It's just if everyone does their bit in their backyard, and when we add it all together, we're making a real difference at a planetary level for conservation.
That was me speaking to James Russell from the University of Auckland about his recent work showing that Aotearoa is high in international ranks for pest eradication.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.